Welcome to this week's episode of the Building Texas Show. I'm excited to sit down with an entrepreneur that I've enjoyed watching her journey for a couple of years now, Lillian Oler, and with the Simple Cocktail. And the Simple Cocktail, we know it locally in Bernie because you built a great reputation, a lot of fun events. A lot of people were doing it, but I know you went and scaled and you're taking the next step with your business now. And so I'm really excited to get into the conversation, talk to Lillian about her journey, and then figure out what the future looks like and some of the stories and lessons we'll learn from Lillian through her journey. So welcome and thank you for spending time with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me out. This is great.
So tell me, we know a Simple Cocktail, but a lot of people might not. What is a Simple Cocktail and what makes it different?
Yeah, so, we started in 2021. It's a place, or it was a place, now it's just an activity. It will soon be a place again.
Exciting.
but it started in a little cozy cottage downtown Bernie where people could come learn how to make drinks. So for date night, girls night out, team building experiences, just my landlord said it best. She said, so are you talking about like what you want to put in here? Is it like paint with a twist? But just the twist. And yeah. She's 81 years old. And I was like, yes, ma'am, it is. It is just like that.
Yeah.
And so she understood it. She got it. So I thought, okay, well, this is going to be really fun and easy to communicate to the world, especially if we go with the name like Assemble Cocktail Workshop. That's gotten us into a little bit of trouble. I'll get down there and explain that a little bit later as we discuss these things. But yeah, so we just teach people how to make cocktails, shake their tin can. It's less about the cocktail, more about people getting together and kind of breaking bread. 2021, pandemic years, you know, that was, we started because we wanted to give people a reason to get together.
But I've enjoyed watching you on social media because you do a great job of putting the fun parts out. Right. And talking about why people want to do an event with you. And it's cocktails are fun. Everybody is comfortable with that idea. But I see you go into corporate teams and put them together. And there it's not really about the cocktail. It's about the team atmosphere. And I assume people get more vulnerable in that room. And you have a lot of conversation and just maybe some get to know each other time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have conversation starters. So we have like a list of, I train all my hosts to use, you know, these certain conversation starters and cues. But then also it's just people talking about their favorite thing or an experience that they had with X, Y, and Z. Always hear, you know, somebody always talks about why they can never drink tequila again. And that's always a funny story to hear. You know, you're like, oh my gosh, you're an accountant. You're telling me about a story when you're 22 years old. Okay. But it's fun. It's all good fun.
Well, and in doing that, we've just described two very different places. When I think of the cottage on Main Street in small town Texas, that's one style of business and I think one customer type. But the corporate customer that's looking for a team building event, how often would they find a cottage on Main Street?
Interestingly enough, quite often. Unfortunately, I had to turn away several because they wanted to bring a group of 18 or 20 and it just felt very, very cramped. So a couple times I was, you know, testing things out. So I was like, oh, yeah, let's come on in. And it just worked out to be chaos and I felt bad, you know, live and learn, right? So, what has worked out better is if we actually meet them where they're at. So, for example, like LegalZoom, I met them out at a resort in Austin where they were doing their weekend-long retreat. Yeah, and so that was a really good time. We went to the JW for Sealy Tempur-Pedic mattress firm. They had, I think, 20 people. It was a lot of fun.
So you go into people's houses, too, because I've seen some where you have great parties that look like a lot of fun, and it looks like someone's kitchen, living room, back porch. But that's going to be more like a family event, friend group event. But we're covering all the bases. Like, if you want to get together and have a good time, this is a great place to start. And you're talking about being mobile. So now you're in a full mobile setup and moving back into brick and mortar. But how are you scaling your business? Because you're a big piece of it. Does that carry into other locations or other capacity in some way?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have decided to franchise. So that is what's going on now. We have the FDD done.
What's an FDD?
The franchise disclosure document. It's about 100 million pages long of really boring things. Like, you got to tape your eyelids wide open to be able to get through the whole thing. It's very boring. Well, I fall asleep when I read anyways, so it's like very dry to me. But if you're a creative person, this is not for you. If you want to be plugged in and follow a template that's, you know, tried and true, very fun business, then that's, you know, that's who we're looking to have.
Well, let's put some clarity on that, because the FDD is the legal side of standing up a franchise. And it's 100 plus pages because you wrote 100 plus pages of, here's what my business is, here's the process, here's how you as a franchisor would be successful. So you're really training people around how you've built your business and what you've done in your business to be successful. And that's a place to put yourself out there a little bit. It's a leap of faith that you can put your business into the market that way.
Yeah, and so what I have always said is, if it can be done in Boerne, Texas, it can be done anywhere. This is a great example of like small town USA. Now, we are very lucky in the state of Texas. We have different rules and laws around alcohol that we can use to make our business either operate mobile or by brick and mortar. In other states, most likely this business would need to be operated by like a dry hire. So where the client brings their own alcohol, or, you know, you show up to do the class and they already have the booze there, or it could be like done at a resort. The catering department could supply it, that kind of thing. But
depending on who has the licensing to serve and
but all of that's like painted in the FDD.
Well, and so that's what makes it a franchise a great opportunity for a lot of people. Like you said, creative, you like hosting, you like doing this type of activity. Maybe you don't have the business acumen and understand what all you need to make that successful, but you're giving them a turnkey opportunity to say, focus on the fun, focus on this part of the business. And a lot of this is already mapped out for you. You still have to do it.
Yes. And there's training videos and there's recipes that get rolled out, and we'll be doing a monthly roundtable with all of our franchisees. So there will be a lot of communication, of course, and it's trying to kind of figure out the next steps to make Assemble Cocktail less of like Lillian's Assemble Cocktail Cottage spot, and make it more about, you know, Assemble Cocktail Workshop as a company. So I would say that's been kind of a challenge, but then again, we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah. And
something to look forward to.
I'm excited for you to get it out into the market, because what I've watched you build has been very meticulous. And you see that online, you see it in your social media, you see it in how you tell the stories. Like, you're passionate about what you're doing, and you're passionate about people coming in and having a great experience with you. And I think that comes from a hospitality background. Is that what I'm picking up?
Yeah.
It seems a little bit different than maybe people would think. This is, a bartender could do this and they've got the knowledge on how to make the drinks. But there's a different level of polish that I think goes into what you present, that maybe that's a different skill set.
I mean, I'd like to think so. So I worked in hospitality forever, bartending, serving, ever since I was, 16, 17 years old. So living in the Napa Valley, I worked for a restaurant company where I would actually, their training manual was like beautiful. Like, somebody, they really put some good work into it, and they're well known for their systems and their service and things like that. So that was kind of what taught me, like, hey, there's no shame in working a job in hospitality, even though, yeah, maybe it's not a career, but it's, kind of just one of those things. The way you do something is the way you do everything. So take pride in it. And just taking, like during the pandemic, for example, the world was flipped upside down.
Yeah.
So it gave me the time to think about, what do I want to do and what's important, and what's important to other people, and how can I like honor that, for them and for myself and my time. And so just basically taking all the things that I loved about working in a restaurant, hospitality, systems, the way you make people feel, making beautiful things, for example, And then bundling that up into one little business and then calling it Assemble Cocktail Workshop has been a lot of fun. But yeah, it does stem from hospitality and then also personal life balance.
Yeah. But it's interesting because as I'm sitting here listening to you, it's because you've served hospitality in many roles that you can step into the entrepreneurial world and say, well, it's similar. I serve in many world roles. And it's all about the experience of each one, whether it's your accountant experience. I imagine you're very pleasant to work with, and your accountant can ask you questions. You can answer them because you're in the business that way. And for somebody that's in the service industry, hospitality industry, maybe they've served a lot of those different roles. They understand what makes customers come to their restaurant or their bar or their facility and convert into a good time. That's a next level employee in those environments that can see and isolate that out. And I'm really intrigued that I would have said, oh, it's the bartender thing, but it's not that. It really is every aspect of the experience that you have to consider.
I agree completely. I mean, when we would hire people, it was like they'd come in, ask for an application or whatever. And if they didn't have a pen, they're not prepared. And just these little subtle things that you could read. So, you know, you give them a purple pen and the next person who has the application is like, oh, they have a purple pen. I know they didn't come prepared. But it's even like that, it's totally fine. When they would hire, it was always the person who wanted to do the right thing. The hiring wasn't because of their skill set. It was the aim to please. And so those kind of things can't be taught. That's just built into your personality.
Yeah.
And so just kind of learning those things from working at this restaurant company, I would say like stuck with me. And I'm definitely trying to like implement a lot of those philosophies into the franchise. And so you'll find a lot of that in the training manuals and even just like what the franchisees, how they hire their staff.
Yeah. Because again, every aspect of it's important. Who shows up at that event dictates the fun the customer has, the referrals that the customers will give in the future. I mean, it's a circle.
Yeah. And when they're going into somebody else's house too, it's like, you really got to make the person who booked you be the hero.
Yeah.
So even though you're coming in with, you know, your buckets of mixers and shaker tins and all that, it's like, for me to teach them how to be the hero is sort of the tricky part. But once we get that down, no, it's down. We got it. But yeah. They have to want to do that.
It's just a very intentional way of showing up. It's different than maybe they would show up in a traditional restaurant or a traditional service.
Right, because it's not like the bartender show.
Yeah.
It's not. If you want to create a bartender show, go hop on YouTube. Yeah. Like, that's not what we're doing. We're creating an experience and making people feel a certain way.
And it's so much more than that one thing. And that was the light bulb for me, because I've talked to you about this and said, oh yeah, bartenders and this, and you always correct me. And I have a lot of fun being corrected. And then getting curious on why and going in and seeing really the value of a simple cocktail workshop is not the drink. It is the experience, and we have to keep that top of mind.
Yes. And so with that too, I'm really excited to test out other experiences as well. So finding, and this isn't quite part of the franchise yet because it's still just
in development.
Testing, yes. But having different area professionals and experts come through and guide a workshop based on, you know, a template that we set forth and say, okay, this is going to be our structure. Our guests are going to come into our space and we're going to have you teach XYZ, maybe succulent plant potting or Christmas wreath making or basket. It doesn't matter.
Something that activates the people to be more vulnerable and tell more stories.
Yes, because there's only so much. I mean, there's a lot people can do with cocktails and it's been a great 3 years and its business hasn't slowed down too much. But the trend is that people are drinking less and less. So.
Yeah.
Again, I always want to reiterate, it's less and less about the alcohol. And there's actually been a couple companies that have asked, can you take the word cocktail off of the invoice? Because our accounting department doesn't want to pay for that.
Yep. All season procedures.
Making mocktails. Like, yes.
But you wouldn't think about that. And I think, again, the value of you've been doing this, doing it well, you run into that and say, well, how do we solve that problem? How do we come different? And you're looking at the legacy of your business, like how do you diversify? How do you make it more? Because there's people that can't do cocktails, won't do cocktails. Yeah. So how can you serve a different persona as we go through and build out that audience, which is the entrepreneurial way?
It is.
And
yes.
It's always iterating, always dreaming of the next thing.
Yes, it's a lot of fun too, because there's so many talented people out there that are, you know, offering really cool experiences, or they have like really great skills. They just don't know how to bundle it up and make it into a box, or maybe they don't want to. Maybe they have a full-time job and they just do something, you know, creative on the side, but, you know, taking it and turning it into a way for them to be able to mingle with the public and actually see how the public is going to use their product is pretty neat.
One of the things we talk about a lot on the show with entrepreneurs is telling your own story. And nobody tells your story for you. You have to go out, tell it really well, and with the hopes of somebody else coming in and echoing your story. And then we can pay for advertising. That's different. But you do a wonderful job of curating your story online and highlighting the works and the event that you do. But I know that's a full-time job in itself. What have you done to really learn how to do that? And or is it really just getting out of your comfort zone?
So we don't really believe in personal space or comfort zones.
There you go.
Around here. Like, I just think that, well, anytime I get nervous, I think, okay, well, what would happen if I went and got a job? Ew. Oh my God. I figure out a way to quit the job as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would do. So that just pushes me out a little bit further. And it's like, sorry, kids, mom's going to come out and kind of be out there talking about business or, you know, introducing the business or myself or
you're gonna be invisible
wherever we are. Yes.
Yeah.
Stop picking your nose, kid. We might run into my next client right here. No.
But that's the hustle that I appreciate about you, because we were talking about before the show, you're an entrepreneur that hasn't really come in looking for, hey, I need money to get started and this is the thing. You're like, I've got a thing and I'm gonna do it and it's gonna work. Help me a little bit here and there. Okay, that's interesting. And I've watched you go out and really hustle and work through a launch in the pandemic, the ebbs and flows of the last 3 or 4 years, and coming out on top, coming out with the iteration of how do you keep getting better? How do you keep scaling? And I go back to the marketing side of that, because that journey is visible and you keep getting better too. And that's what's fun to really see, because I can have a lot of confidence and it's fun to cheer that story on. Because you're putting in the work.
Well, thank you. I feel like I took a long time during the summer to just chill and think and reflect and cry and freak, not cry, just like kind of freak out. Just like, is this actually working? Is it time for a pivot? Is it, you know, do I? And so I decided it is time for a pivot. And that's when I was like, I have to get a location.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way that I know how to sell franchises. Now, when you lean on somebody else to do it for you, like you said, the story doesn't get relayed as well. Thinking about like franchising and franchise brokers and, you know, their job is to go ahead and push out your franchise. But if they don't fully understand it, then it's not going anywhere. So it stays stagnant. So I just thought like, well, if I have a brick and mortar where people can come see and I get more people, the more people seeing it, it's almost going to work like a funnel. And so instead of trying to learn how to pay for more advertising or pay for more brokers, just pivot into a new space.
Work harder. Yeah.
Exactly. Just grind, baby. But yeah, just I think that like taking time to reflect is something that people need to do. And I was really fortunate to have my lease be up right at the perfect time and not have to sign and go mobile, and kind of things just kind of have been working out. I wouldn't say like financially working out, just like working out to make the things fall into order.
But it's giving you the runway to go out and sell the franchises. And I think you're right on your own, because you're a magnet. You're going to attract the right franchisors differently than a broker going out and talking about your story. And people that are going to be interested in your franchise are going to find you online. And what you show them is the experience that can't be described by someone that hasn't been in that room, that hasn't done the work, that doesn't see the little detail that made it really special, but you can call it out. And so I applaud just getting out, putting it out there, keep iterating, keep pivoting. But it's the same core business. It's the same principle and process. It's just finding out where it's landing and its market fit. And your new location is probably going to be in a place that has more visibility, more access, and solves feedback that you learned through launching in Bernie early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I like about the new space is that it's very similar. Well, it has some of the same like things. It checks off the same boxes as the spot in Bernie does. So it's not on like a main street where people are just going to be walking right into. It's kind of like a destination. You have to know where you're going. But it's close to other restaurants and things, so that are open past 6:30 p.m.
Well, and that's one of the challenges of small town business, right? We have a beautiful main street. I recently had Jenny Forks online or mm-hmm. on the show for Jay Forks. And we talk about all the wonderful aspects of being a main street retailer or service provider. But it ebbs and flows. And we've had two very hot summers. So that cuts down on people walking up and down the road.
Oh, gosh. And I can imagine with retail, too, like you don't want to have anybody sweaty off the road coming in to try on jeans. Like, nope.
You don't want to go in and try on jeans either.
I think you need a necklace today.
But then we look at the things that impact us that we never would have thought about as entrepreneurs planning our year, highway shutdowns and other things that, again, you've given your business an opportunity to pivot and scale beyond that because you felt those pressures. You saw some of those things that, oh, that's an interesting thing. I never could have planned for it, but it's having a significant impact on my business. And so your response is, I think, appropriate. Take a step back, iterate and pivot, and keep going.
And the fun thing for a franchisee, too, is that it doesn't cost very much money to get started. No, this isn't a sales pitch to you because you already know, but it's, you know, under 30 grand to get started. You have the full kit, full everything. You don't have to have a brick and mortar. So they can operate it out of their house. They don't even have to be sitting on a bunch of inventory. They can go to the grocery store and buy limes the morning of.
Yeah.
And they can be a full-time employee at a school and operate this as a side hustle. Like, I really want it to be something that's flexible and fun, not something that's a burden. Because this is, I call it my productive social life.
Yeah.
I want that for other people, too.
And I think you said it really well earlier when it the idea of going back into an office for you really drives you to do this.
Oh, man.
I think there's so many people in our workforce today that feel that way, but they haven't found that then. Yeah, that what is it that could really replace? And a lot of people try side hustles and they try things that don't add value to the quality of life. So you were very clear in, I'm doing this so that I can enjoy what I do and I can enjoy the quality of life at this phase with kids and where you want to be. You have that flexibility, but when you're working, you're working. And when you're not, you're enjoying your quality of life. And that's something that I've recognized as I stepped out of the corporate world that I couldn't imagine going back in the same traditional way that we think about work.
Right. I'm just so grateful for my husband because he works a super fun, like cool job, but he sells wine and from his computer at home, he's like, ticka, 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 ticka. Hello? Oh, wine? Okay. Yeah, sure. Cool. It's coming. Ticka, ticka, ticka. You know, and he's like doing it from 9 to 5:30 every day. And he gives us health insurance through his job. So like, I'm so grateful. I feel like somebody's got to do it. And I'm just really glad that it's not me because I would be not very reliable. I've done it multiple years working for other people, restaurants and things, but looking back, you don't realize it while you're in the middle of it, but looking back, it's like, oh, good thing I had that experience because I really learned a lot and I'm going to take the things that I learned and move forward from it. Not just about like, you know, the skills you learn, but like about yourself. Like, how do I respond in this? I actually was a terrible employee at every single job I ever had. They always put me in a different position. Like at the restaurant group that I worked for, they're like, how about we hired you as a server? How about you're a greeter instead, but then you help train people like in interview? And I'm like, okay, I can do that. Oh, do you want to work at the coffee shop right up front? It's like a wine shop. You could buy a $300 bottle of wine or a $5 hot dog. I mean, it was just a really cool place.
That, yeah.
Yeah. The limo drivers would stop by and like play piano while they're waiting for their guests, like,
yeah,
to finish lunch. Napa Valley. Anyways, so funny that, you know, after working in restaurants and hospitality for so long, they're like, I think you'd be a better fit here or here or here. I was like, whatever, just pay me. It's cool.
Yeah.
But that plays into entrepreneurship. Like, and this is all looking back. Yeah. Then I was like, I'm really being pushed around. Okay, I guess this is fine. But yeah, it's neat to be able to reflect.
And I'd encourage other people to do that too, because even in your, if you're in a traditional job and lots of people, it's a wonderful way to have the stability, the health insurance. Not everybody can be an entrepreneur. I recognize that. But everybody can take a step back and look around and take that self-assessment and say, am I a better employee today than I was 5 years ago? What have I learned? What's really driving that? But I hope that they're also saying, what am I enjoying in my life too? And it's not just a daily grind of showing up, do the work, and leave, because there should be more to that at some level. And if there's an entrepreneurial side hustle kind of interest, you've got to figure out, can you half commit to it or do you have to fully commit to it? And half committing to anything is really tough.
Yeah. That was one beautiful thing about moving during the pandemic. I was like, okay, well, the rug just got pulled out from under us. So
Let's go.
Yeah. And it was, you know, well, what are you guys going to do? You don't have jobs lined up. And we're like, always assessing the rock bottom. You know, that's another part of entrepreneurship. It's like, you know, what happens if this doesn't work out? Okay, then I go, like, we bought our house in 2020, so it was before things got expensive.
Real expensive.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I don't think everybody would have this mindset now, but I was like, I'll collect shopping carts at HEB.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. I'll figure it out. And luckily, that hasn't had to happen. Not that there's anything wrong. I love HEB. I'm there, like, once a day. But
but the point is, like, you were going to figure it out. You have a mindset and an attitude towards, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to put everything into it, but I'm going to keep iterating, keep coming back to this concept of what is it you want to do? And I think it's relevant to the franchise story, because that's the business owner path. If you don't want to go back to business school, you're not inventing something new. You're really just wanting to go work for yourself, enjoy a quality of life, and still have guidance that you would have from a supervisor or a boss.
Bumpers.
But it's not overarching. It's not overreaching. Well, the right franchise might be the right fit for you. And I don't know that a lot of people think about that early. They think about when they get the phone calls from the brokers, right? Oh, you should do these things. But I'd want you to come to it naturally. I'd want you to come to, I really liked what I heard Logan talking about. I want to go learn more because cocktail's okay, but I like that experience thing. That's going to be a really exciting opportunity for somebody that's ready to show up, roll their sleeves up, and do the work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the attitude that you're looking for.
I am. And again, like, the entrepreneur side of it is already being handled. It's already, like, they don't have to be visionary. They just have to love their community, roll up their sleeves, and do the process. But yeah, they don't have to create anything new except for relationships in their community. And that part is, to the certain person, the right person, the fun part.
Yeah, the professional social life,
mm-hmm.
which we see a lot of. And if you can do it well, it's fun. If you're there not professionally, if you're there just having fun, it's fun. But there's always a balance. I think any room that we go into, we see service providers at a gala, right? You can see the ones that are having a really good time, and then you can see the ones that might not necessarily want to be there. And I'd want to be on the having a good time.
Yeah. If you're going to put in time, resources, everything, just have a good time.
So as we look at the next year for Lillian, what do we see? And then what does that look like for a Simple Cocktail Workshop as well?
Well, Lillian is going to, it feels like I'm starting over with a Simple Cocktail, getting a new location, which I'm really excited about. Again, I'm always up for a challenge. Just thinking even about like paint colors and appliances, I'm like, ooh, this is so fun. How can I make, okay, it's like kind of expensive. How can I make it more affordable? Like, that it's scrappy. Can I jump in there with a contractor and like help?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, probably not. I'm just going to get in the way. But, you know, like things like that. So over the next few months and year, it's going to be like really learning how to like advertise and love on that community, because it's in San Antonio. It's Bernie feeds into it also.
Yeah.
So I know I'll have repeat guests going out there. Knock on some wood. But it is going to be learning how to love on that community and like learning how they're going to respond to it. So that will be another great way to put more systems in a place for the franchisees. But then also just using that space as a funnel too for potential franchisees. When I was building the franchise and going through all the paperwork and everything, I really thought that it was possible to have 25 franchise locations by 2025. I was like, I love the number 25. 2 + 5 = 7, and 7 is my lucky number. And like, duh, like, let's do this. Here we are, almost September, and I've had tire kickers, which is fine. It's learning. It's helping me learn my sales pitch and, you know, the sales process and everything. But it's one of those things where it's like, okay, this is not going to happen nearly as fast. I need to put some more systems in a place to get more qualified leads in here. So really just like figuring that out. And then as far as a Simple Cocktail Workshop goes, there's going to be a lot more experiences peppered in there. Already have a list of local experts that I think we're going to be probably calling them Assemble Experts.
Nice.
Soon. So I have a form that people can fill out online if they want to do a collaboration, and just kind of work through what that looks like and how we can make that go mobile with the franchise and have that be like a plug-in.
That sounds like a whole host of opportunities.
Yeah.
So as we look at all of that, where would people find you? Like, where, if I'm interested in a franchise, I want to know more, where would I find that information? Where, I want to have a party, where should I talk to you?
It all starts at assemblecocktail.com. There's all kinds of information on there, but honestly, if you just have like a straightforward question, you're like, yo, let's talk about this. So whether it's a unique party that, you know, you have a question about, or you want to learn more about the franchise process, you can just send me an email. It's hello@assemblecocktail.com.
That's wonderful. And we've talked about the new location. We've teased that it's in San Antonio. Time-wise, how do we keep informed on when that's going to open? What do you think that looks like?
Well, I have a list going of people that I personally have to call. So if you want to get on that list, hit me an email and you'll get a personal Lillian phone call. But also, of course, social media will be blasting about that. I almost totally spilled the beans about it today because I was really excited. I posted something on my personal page, but yeah, Instagram, Assemble Cocktail, TikTok, that's a joke, but it's going to get better. TikTok is hard. I'm not young enough for TikTok.
It's all hard because it's all new things and there's so much of it, and every trick, everything. But I'll appreciate, and Lillian, thank you for spending time with us today, sharing your journey of franchising and Assemble Cocktail, and really giving us some hope on you can go find a fun way to be professionally social and pay the bills and do everything you want to do and have a quality of life that serves you.
Yes, and take it seriously. Go all in.
Yeah.
That's what I challenge people to do. So,
well, thank you for the way that you're building Texas and for joining us today.
Absolutely. Cheers.